Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Because they're, you know, it's sexist. There's nothing there. There's nothing there other than sorrow, regret, yeah. And poisonous, you know, insects.
One of the guys at my work, he's a little on the crazy side. He's like one of those guys that has everything wrong with him. Like,
nice.
Like, oh, I'm allergic to this, or blah, blah, blah. I need my service dog and everything like that.
I'm allergic to bees.
And he always talks about how great Oklahoma is.
It's so weird.
Okay.
Why Oklahoma?
I guess that's where his sister lives, so he's like in love with the state of Oklahoma.
So why doesn't he just move there?
Well, that's what I say. But whatever.
I mean, if you're that hard on for it.
Like, I wouldn't have to deal with him.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Win-win.
Yeah. I don't know. It's home ownership sucks. Let me just tell you that.
I know.
I mean, it's not the benefits.
It's simply just not for everyone. That's all it is.
Well, no, it's definitely for me. Like, I love having my own place.
It's not for everyone.
Yes. But I will tell you, it is a huge cost.
Yep. And then, you know, like for me, whose work keeps fucking moving, like if they move far away again, you know, it's nice for me to have the option to like just get up and go. Also, I don't have children. I don't plan on ever having children.
Yeah.
And so what am I going to do? Leave the house to someone? Like, I don't have any kids to leave it to. So what's the point?
Yeah.
I can see having a house if you are having a family thing with like the kids and stuff, because that's reasonable. It's like, oh, okay, like you leave the house to your kids. Sure. That's fine. If you don't have kids, why do you have a house?
Oh, I do not. Like, I dread the day when my parents are like, decide, when my parents die or whatever and they leave me the houses, because I'm just like, one is in the south side of Chicago. That's probably worth $75,000. And I'm kind of like, what am I going to do with this thing? It's tiny.
You're going to sell it, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the other one is in Blue Island, and it's just like, it's a very nice house, and it's in a very nice location, but it's still like, this is going to be more. Because my mom is, I got a lot of my, like, insane collecting from my mom. I understand it's a psychological issue that I have. And she's, like, far worse with, like, things that, like, I'm like, ugh. Like, she loves to collect, crucifixes.
Ugh.
Of all things.
That's fucking creepy as shit.
I know, that's exactly. But she likes like antique ones and stuff like that. I'm just like,
with the dead ass sad Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah,
man.
Total like super uber Catholic.
Oh, you could do the scene from The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, with all the crosses upside down. Yeah.
And they all spin upside down.
I tell my mom that all the time when I go to her house. I'm just like, Christ, this is insane. Jesus would not like this.
You should just blast the Exorcist theme.
Well, I always tell her, I go, what would Jesus say if he walked into your house and walked upstairs and saw all this? He'd just be like, yeah, that's what I want to remember. Yeah, thank you for that. I needed that reminder of when I was nailed up to a cross.
Crazy. Actually, it was more likely he was not nailed, but he was hung by rope because they let your own body weight destroy you.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. We're going by the story.
Yeah,
that is in the...
So, with Jesus' magic powers, if he did get holes in his hands, he could shoot blood Hadoukens, right?
Mm-hmm. Because,
like, he could just do whatever.
Absolutely.
Nice.
At least
I bet he could turn his blood into wine, so he could shoot wine Hadoukens.
Ooh, wine Hadoukens. I mean that's the story of the Bible Pat B likes, so...
the wine Hadouken.
the wine Hadouken.
That makes sense.
Oh, boy. You know what I saw today? Oh, not yet today, yesterday. I kind of wanted to bring this up to Pat, but I just didn't get a chance to, and just reminded me. I was at Half Price Books, and I saw them selling a copy of Loose of Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo.
Okay. That should be like $50.
Yeah. $150.
Jesus. I mean, it's been a while since I've looked at the prices of...
Well, I looked it up immediately, and like new in box, $150.
Okay.
But I'm just like, Jesus, new in box, $150. That's ridiculous.
Dude, the Super Nintendo collectors and now the Genesis collectors, it's like... Some of those games are fucking nuts.
I don't.
Well, the Super Nintendo, I can understand the new in-box price being outrageous because most people threw the boxes away.
Yeah.
Because they were just crappy cardboard.
That's what I did.
And they had the dust jacket for the game, which everyone kept the dust jacket.
Yeah.
But Genesis, like, most games come, like, I'm surprised when they don't have a box because I'm like, the box was the case.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why'd you throw that away?
Well,
idiot.
I mean, Pat's looked at my Super Nintendo collection before and he's been like, because like I keep my Super Nintendo does not work anymore. That's just you know, age. But I have, like, all of the super expensive games. Like, I got Star Fox. I have Final Fantasy 2 and 3, Secret of Mana, and Mario Kart, and all of those games that are worth a shit ton of money. So, Super Metroid, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Right. Like, it's like all these games that
the
are...
the good games.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could probably get what I paid for them back in the 90s for those cartridges.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean... But that's about it. I mean, I just hold on to them for kind of posterity. I should sell them and get rid of them and just make some cash off of it. Because if I really wanted to play them, I'd have to buy a new Super Nintendo.
You can probably sell them as a collection, too.
Yeah.
Collections usually get if you have a bunch of rare games, collections usually get a little bump in value.
I also have the Ocean Adams Family game, which is one of my... I love that game. That game was a ton of fun. It really was. It was a great side-scroller. Nothing was too hard about it. I never, like, I beat that game a dozen times. It's not a very, and I'm very bad at beating games. Like, if I get frustrated by a game, I'm just like,
I mean, it can't be as bad
this.
As it can't be as bad as Fester's Quest.
No,
Fester's Quest is fucking awful.
That game was terrible. No, I also have the Super Star Wars and Super Empire Strikes Back.
Those games are fucking hard as shit.
Yeah, well, that Sandcrawler fucking stage. That game. It's like, okay, the only way you could beat the lava monster at the end is if you have this very specific gun and you do not die because all your guns reset a la Contra.
Yeah, that game was fucking bullshit hard.
Jedi and Empire were not as bad. I beat both Jedi and Empire, but Super Star Wars was hard as hell.
Yeah, they were all fucking hard.
Yeah, I liked
it. The other games were easier because you could do the fucking Sonic spin with the lightsaber.
Yeah, with the lightsaber, yeah.
that makes it easier.
And you had the force power where you could throw the lightsaber and like kill something or other. As long as your force bar was up high enough. God damn, I hate that effect that I even know this stuff.
It's probably good that you can remember things that you did.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's something stupid. That's something that I probably should have forgotten over time. Mm. It's like one of those things, like
a lot of time in
where people like will say that and you'll be reminded, like, oh yeah, I like that game. That game was fun. But I'm sitting there remembering like having like weird.
Remember the Sandcrawler?
Having PTS flashbacks of like standing on that tiny ass ledge, avoiding lava, having to jump back and forth, and if you just barely touch the lava, you die.
Remember sand crawlers? Remember Jawas?
And then you had to go to Mos Eisley afterwards, and you had to defeat that giant monster guy, and that was just as hard. Pain in the ass game. Pain in the ass. Actually, I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that the Super Star Wars game was one of the first mentions that Han Solo was from Corellia.
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember, I don't know why I remember that. It might have been in a book or something.
I got no
like
clue,
that.
Bro.
Yeah. Han Solo.
Thankfully, as I've been getting into other things, my Star Wars knowledge has been very deeply eroded.
Yeah, my knowledge of the expanded universe is just like almost completely gone at this point.
It's like
point.
I remember Shinzon. He had the pheromones.
Shizor.
Yeah.
Shizor.
See, there you go. I couldn't even remember his name.
Well, that was from Shadows of the Empire, which was a great. I remember reading that as a kid, being like, "This is what literature should be."
And fucking Dash Rendar, and I'm like, "That's the most Star Wars name ever."
Dash Rendar.
Yeah, I fucking hate Star Wars names. They're the worst. Star Wars names are the worst in all of fiction. I don't care what anyone says; they are absolutely terrible.
Well, that's why I always say it's like you got to make sure that it fits in universe, like. I don't know. I'm really... Because I read...
Well, it's Star Wars. It's like, okay, new Star Wars character. What's his name? I don't know, like Bill Jensen? No. No, that's not acceptable.
Jyn Erso.
Okay, very good. That's fucking stupid. Get him in. He's good.
That's thumbs from the... What's it called? The new one, Rogue One.
Jyn Erso.
God
damn it.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You can't do anything. That movie's going to be a $1 billion movie.
Oh, it's going to be fucking jillion, billion, zillion dollars.
I'm going to see Doc Strange tonight.
I'm going to see it on IMAX tomorrow.
Doctor Strange.
I've heard it's not like a superhero movie, so I'm interested.
But the hoary hosts of Hagar.
So that's cool. Well, I mean, I question if they're going to go ham and make Benedict Cumberbatch look Asian after he gets his powers.
No, probably not.
Are you sure? That would be true to the character.
He didn't start looking Asian.
You need to look at the origins of Doctor Strange again, sir. He was a racist caricature.
Well, yeah, he was a racist caricature.
His villain. His villain was a white dude who got his magic powers and then looked Asian.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
That's what it was. It wasn't Doctor Strange.
No, I was going to say, Dr. Stephen Strange never started turning and looking.
My bad. It was the bad guy who turned into an Asian after he got magic powers.
To quote Prince Philip from the UK, he got all slinty-eyed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Actually said by a reigning monarch.
Yeah.
raining, not really raining, but you know.
Hey, I'm sure Trump will come up with some good ones this president.
No, we're not even going to talk about it. I've been so good lately. Like just after last, like starting like Monday, I was just kind of like, I'm ignoring all polls. I'm ignoring everything having to do with politics. I'm so tired of it. And I'm a political guy, but I just. The only time that politics actually ever even came up this week is I was talking with someone at my work, and they were saying like, "Oh, I already did a write-in ballot." I'm like, "Who'd you write in?" And she's like, "Oh, Rick Santorum." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, I'm trying to avoid all political talk whatsoever, but Rick Santorum,
the most insane Republican to ever run.
No. He's close.
I think he's number one of the current crop.
People maybe run for president. I don't know. There's a lot of crazies anyway. want to talk, just get this right out of the way. Our episode is sponsored by Polar Vortex. Don't want to forget about that. Coming in January, January 27th and 29th to the College of DuPage. COD, the COD.
COD State.
In Glen Ellyn, Illinois.
Go Whitefish.
I wish that was their actual thing. You know, it's they got play and win, game demos, board game library, silent auction for charity, playing games such as Warhammer 40K, Star Wars X-Wing, D&D Adventures League, Call of Cthulhu RPG, Shadowrun Missions, Pathfinder Society, Magic the Gathering, and plenty of vendors and more. Yeah, so if you're looking for another tournament with a ton of games, Polar Vortex coming up in January.
Nice.
All right, so talk about some gaming stuff.
Talking about some games.
Not a ton of release news.
No, it's a slow time of year. Like, and all the games that are hot right now, Feast for Odin, Cry Havoc, and Terraforming Mars are fucking sold out until January. So,
yeah.
Betrayal at House on the Hill expansion came out.
Yeah,
You haven't gotten that, pick it up. And if you don't own a copy of Betrayal at House on the Hill, buy it. Like, that is a game that I recommend to everyone. Even if you're not into board games, you should own Betrayal at House on the Hill and the expansion. Like, you just should. It's a super easy to play. It's fun. It's not, there's no possible way to like it's competitive with the biggest quotation marks I can throw on it.
From what I saw of it, it seems like it's that next tier game after like simple friend board games. Like, you know, you got your competitive board games like you can play.
Oh, this is like above Catan.
Yeah, it's above Catan from what I've seen.
That makes sense.
So if like you have a game group that you play with fairly regularly, they can understand how to go. Yeah, I would recommend that. I mean, yeah, it's definitely...
In most cases, the game works like you look on your little card, it'll tell you how many dice you can roll, and you roll that many dice, and you look for the dots.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
I mean, for... Like, I look at gaming group games like that. It's like, you got tier one, which is... Or shit tier games like Monopoly, Life, Clue, even though I do love Clue, Risk. Like, those type of games. Those are, like, the shit tier. I mean, not necessarily bad... But just like, this is what you play with people who have no concept of what games are about. I still get yelled at about taking notes during Clue. I'm like, how else am I supposed to play this? I gotta remember all
that's
this.
That's awesome. I don't know. Is that against the rules?
It's not against the rules. Okay. You're actually given a sheet of paper to take like somewhat notes on. But they yell at me because I actually write on the back of the sheet like.
Tisk tisk.
I know.
They're bad detectives. You're just a better detective.
Exactly. Then you got like the second tier games, which are the games that you shit on Catan a lot, but
I fucking hate Catan.
Yeah, but I mean there are games like Catan, Ticket to Ride, you know, games like
Small World,
Puerto Rico. You get but I mean like games that are kind of abstract that you don't need a lot of like linear playthrough.
Sure.
Like, you just basically, you have your turn, you go through, you do
your
action.
Dice, like Yahtzee.
Yeah, like Yahtzee. I love Yahtzee.
Yahtzee's actually pretty fun. I can't shit on Yahtzee.
No one can shit on
Yahtzee. Yeah, it's just like, if you hate Yahtzee, like, come on, you just huck dice and have some fun.
Dude, Yahtzee's the ultimate grandma game.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's the game that, like, when your grandma comes over and you're like, let's play a game. And then, like, she's like, yeah, let's play Yahtzee. We'll play for money. And she brings out, like, a sack of pennies.
She fucking wrecks you.
She puts out the pennies on the table.
I actually have a Cthulhu Yahtzee.
And she will wreck you. Your grandma will play no holds barred when it comes to penny games. I'll tell you that.
My grandma will play no holds barred nothing because she is dead.
One of mine is. She was the one who would play no holds barred. My other grandma likes playing Bunko. You ever hear of Bunko?
I have not.
It's a dice game. I've never sat around because it's always the woman's game at my house. Like all the women get to sit around and play Bunko.
Like Canasta.
Like Canasta.
We're gonna play some Canasta.
But it's a dice rolling game, and you like roll, I think, like three dice or four dice. I don't know the exact, but it's like Yahtzee where you roll.
Okay.
And I think you're trying to hit like a certain number,
like a straight
of,
or something.
Well, from what I can gather, okay, just what I can think
the,
is
the competitive breakdown of Bunko.
The competitive break. So you have to roll a dice, and the it's on a certain point. So like if you say like we're rolling fives, it's you go around the table and you keep rolling dice, and you want to achieve a certain amount of fives that keep rolling,
okay.
And people
score
keep
score enough fives.
So let's say I don't know what the total is, but let's say it's 30. You have to roll 30 fives. So it goes around the table, you get three rolls, and whoever will actually hit that 30 gets the Bunko, which is the bonus. Everyone else gets points based upon how many fives that they roll. All and right. At the end, whoever wins, you gets the Bunko prize, which is, you know, some crap that
some
they brought
tchotchke.
From. Yeah, some tchotchke that people brought from around the house. I look at it, and I'm like, stupid women. I'm going to go play some Dungeons & Dragons. Or perhaps I will play anything else.
I am not surprised nor shocked that that is your response.
Oh, please. Men are not allowed to play at my house, so I have no idea about any of that stuff. But yeah, that's the but then of course you got the higher tier games. Like third tier is like Betrayal on House on Haunted Hill and stuff like that, where it gets, and then you have like awful like tier 4 games that are just like super complicated. Like they're fun but super complicated, like Descent, what's the Cthulhu one?
Arkham Horror.
Arkham Horror. You know, games that it's just like, these rules are way too complicated.
Why you do this?
Why are we doing this?
Why you do this?
We don't have like 25 hours to play this damn game. Yeah, but that's a quick thought. What the hell was that? I don't know. Sounded like someone died in the next room.
Maybe. Could be a ghost.
How was your Halloween?
Great. I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything?
And I live in an apartment, so I didn't have any fucking trick-or-treaters, which was awesome.
I had tons of trick-or-treaters. It was dream. Great.
See, that thing, total opposite. Like, I fucking hate kids, so if they come to my house begging for candy, I'd fucking punch them in the goddamn face.
I love
get
it.
Out of here.
I hate the wiener teenagers who just come in not in costume. They only get one piece of small candy in my house. I give everyone else handfuls of just, like, candy. We go through bags.
No,
we'll have five or six
bags. I got
bags.
The dream, man. No fucking damn trick-or-treaters.
That's not the dream. Oh,
absolutely the dream.
This is mine, which is great. The wife and takes the kids, and the Beals, Pat B, and his family, they go out, and they go around, and, you know, they do the trick-or-treating for, like, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I sit at home and watch Reanimator and then just hand out candy. It's, like, the best thing
I just
ever.
Watch Reanimator, you know, anytime. It's not just a Halloween
film. It's a fun celebration of the holiday.
I watched Reanimator, actually, a couple weeks ago.
I know, but to give out the candy and to decorate.
I'm out. Decorating, I'm not opposed
to. It's
but,
the suburban dream, man. It's a suburban dream.
Well, luckily for me, I don't have that dream.
Oh, one year I really want to do like a crazy house decoration.
One of those houses.
I kind of want to, but just on Halloween, like not every day, like for the month, have like some crazy decorations out. Just on Halloween, do something like really nutty. Like decorate the garage with like all smoke effects and everything.
Sounds
like
a lot of work for just one day.
I know, but I really want to do that.
I think there's a reason though those guys have it up on fucking October 1st. Because they bust their ass to put it up there.
Yeah, and they spend thousands of dollars doing it.
Yep.
Like that guy who does the pirate ship house and those people who do like the electronic lights with all the sound.
I think Halloween's great. I love Halloween. But I like Halloween like while I'm standing over on a platform and looking at it. And I'm like, oh, hey, look, that's cool. But as soon as it starts leeching towards me, I run. It's like, no, get those kids away from me.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly, I thought there would be more... Rays from Star Wars Force Awakened at Halloween. There was a couple, not a ton.
Not close enough to Halloween.
Yeah, that's what it was kind
it's
of...
always the most popular costumes are always something that happens close. A movie that comes out or an event that happens close. So I'm sure there was a million billion Ken Bones.
No, I didn't see any Ken Bones.
Well, yeah, not little kids, but I mean like...
Little kid Ken Bones.
Little kid Ken Bones would be pretty great too. But like there's like, you know, Ken Bones, Harley Quinns, and...
There was a bunch of Harley Quinns.
Jokers. Just infinite Jokers.
Well, there's always infinite Jokers.
Right. That's the thing. Like, it's funny. Like, everyone's talking about, oh, there's going to be so many Harley Quinns and Jokers this year. And it's like, there's always tons of Harley Quinns and Jokers. Like, the superhero, they're popular. Like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I ran my Ghostbusters game for on Halloween and ended up running fairly well with a bunch of people who don't really play RPGs, so I, you know, I could play fast and loose with the rules. You know, it needed to be done in like 3 hours. I needed them to achieve certain things, so I was able to fudge it a little bit. They had fun. It was I think it was a very
did anyone die?
No, I did not do any deaths. It's these are for people who don't normally play RPGs. Like if I was,
I guess it is Ghostbusters. Nobody dies in Ghostbusters.
If I was running for you and like some other people who like normal gaming people, you guys would all be like, you're dead. Roll a new character now.
You've been slain.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh yeah, you failed your proton pack roll. Guess what? You got shot in the face.
It exploded. Yeah, you actually killed yourself and all the other busters.
Well, there was
yeah, that's a little grimdark for Ghostbusters.
Well, that's what I was saying is like I was playing with them and they were like, all right, we're gonna shoot this ghost with the proton packs. I'm like, you should turn on the proton packs. you guys forgot to do that. Yeah. So I mean, like, but if you had made that mistake, I would have been like, you go to shoot the ghostly apparition. He's charging towards you. You go. You take aim. You click the button, and nothing happens because you forgot to turn on your goddamn proton pack. You idiot.
I clearly stated before I left that I always turn my proton. My character always turns his proton pack at the sign of any action, so it would have already be on without my declaration. I even wrote it down on my sheet.
If you remember correctly from the first Ghostbusters movie, someone else has to switch on the proton pack. You did not ask anybody to turn on your proton pack.
Then why didn't you object when I said the rule? This is clearly favoritism.
No metagaming at the table, man. I can't make that decision. That's exactly how it went. It went really well. I think they liked it. I could see, like, Ghostbusters actually would make a really fun campaign, like, to do. Like, you could set some stuff up in certain buildings, and you could build up from there. I mean, like, most things can make a great campaign if you want to. But a good real-world Ghostbusters campaign, I think, could be real fun to do. Especially, like, with a lot of the technical aspects and, like, there's, like, a lot of research that I skipped that would have been really fun to have them do, like...
It would be great if one of your players is really good at, like, spirit babble, too.
Yeah. Well, I had them, I had one
like
of the...
it's a class 3 rooming vapor.
Well, that's... I had one of my characters was, I had as a spiritualist who joined the Ghostbusters. She was, like, the one who was in charge of, like, knowing everything about the ghost. She had Tobin Spirit Guide and all that nonsense. And I printed out a bunch of, like, chants and spells for her to say in, like, old English and Celtic and everything. I'm like, it won't work unless you say it, unless you chant it. You have to chant it and believe it, or else it's not going to work.
That's humorous.
Well, that's the type of stuff that I like to get them to do.
And I was presented a mass sponge migration.
I also gave them re-roll dice for if they said something funny or quippy at the table, like very Ghostbuster-y. And I thought that worked really well because the re-rolls did come in handy later for that. But yeah, it ended up, I had them defeat the Wendigo.
That was in the Superpowers RPG I designed. Every quip you had got you
a
re-roll.
Yeah. And that's, I think, I got the idea from because I was like, that would make a lot of
A bone to pick with you, Skullmaster.
But it'd be really good because if they made me laugh with like something that they said, I would just chuck a die at them.
Nice.
So it worked out really well. I think I definitely like that. I think that it could be a fun thing. I kind of wish there was a more up-to-date Ghostbusters RPG that worked a little better than that.
What system did you use?
I actually used End of the World system.
Oh, because there's Spectre Busters or Spectral Smashers. There is a new Ghostbusters RPG that is not like it's basically
unlicensed.
Like we're not Ghostbusters. Yeah. We're like Spectral Smashers, but it's fucking Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at that. I just my biggest problem is that End of the World does not work well with tech stuff.
Right.
So, like, if you have, like, different weaponry and stuff, like, it does not work very well.
Yeah, I have not played the Spectral Smashers or whatever it is, but it's supposedly real good if you want to do a Ghostbusters game.
Yeah, I should take a look at that.
Yeah. But I think that's what it's called. It's some fucking punny name on Ghosts.
But I actually downloaded the Ghostbusters RPG because I wanted to take a look at it and see how they
set it. The West End one?
Yeah, the one that you have the box for.
Yes, with the ghost eye?
Yeah.
It's in my collection.
Oh, it's in your collection. But So I ended up, I wanted to get like a lot of those sheets, like you have to hand the person at the door the liability form,
oh, right.
Stuff like that to take care of. I actually had Professor Dan Delanois at the museum. So
nice. That's
Dr.
great.
Dan Delanois.
Dr. Delanois.
Yes.
Dr. Delanois, come. What do you want?
He's a very angry, bald man with a beard. He's angry at the world. But yeah, that was my Halloween night. So it ended up fairly well. I had my Ghostbusters outfit on and everything. The players liked it. I kind of dig doing like an RPG day for Halloween. And I was actually thinking, I was like,
you know, there's an Evil Dead RPG if you want to do that.
I love Ash versus the Evil Dead.
It's actually, I think it's Army of Darkness. No, there's a legit licensed one.
Oh,
it's good. Either Evil Dead or Army of Darkness, but it's actually a licensed RPG.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of hard to do that because Ash is so important to that universe. Ash versus the Evil Dead makes and does a really good job of kind of fleshing out that world. And like showing how side characters would interact in that world.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you have to have Ash. Like, if you don't have someone playing as Ash, what's the point?
I think you'd have to, you'd have to have someone be Ash.
Well, here, how about this? How does this sound?
Or you could do is you could set up a really complicated thing of Bruce Campbell quips and like clips.
Yeah.
And then like when anyone says anything to him, you have to click like, this is the best way to go.
Well, I was thinking like, okay, so if you do that, you have to have the way that it works is a little different for RPGs, so that you would have the dungeon master is Bruce. Like, so he's leading the party. And so, like, you know, when in a normal RPG where people are like, nah, screw that haunted house, we're going to go murder hobo some people.
Mm-hmm.
The dungeon master is the one who's like, nah, we're going in. You know, and so he's like literally legitimately leading people where they don't want to go, a la Ash.
Oh, I actually have a very good point on that. If you have a murder hobo problem, all you need to do to solve it is, instead of starting your campaigns and like asking your players what to do, just be like, all right, you've entered the haunted house, you've heard tales of treasure and money. Like, just do not give them the option. They might be like, oh, railroading. Anyone who gets butthurt about railroading doesn't want to play your game.
No,
that is the cold truth of people who bitch and moan about railroading in campaigns. If they don't want to do what your campaign is, they don't want to play in it. So fuck, tell them to fuck off.
Yeah,
that's long and short.
But you are absolutely right. But I don't want to get away from that. The dungeon master is Ash, so he's legit getting them into more problems than they want.
Just making it worse.
Just making it worse because that's what Ash does. Ash. Yeah. So it's like so what the demonite.
Deadites.
So the Deadite is coming towards you. Ash takes his chain, and Ash is going to take his chainsaw and cut off the guy's head. So he cuts off the head, flinging it towards, you know, John's body. John, what do you do? You know, it's like, so they have to react to like Ash being this complete and utter asshole.
Yes.
Like, that's what the RPG is about. I think that could work. Yeah. I don't know.
That could work.
Yeah. It'd be good for like one shots and maybe smaller campaigns and things like that. But yeah, I was actually thinking, I'm kind of surprised. I was looking at it. There are no like professional dungeon masters who like sell their services online. Like, they do it generally with like internet parties. Like, they'll get together and like do like Skype stuff like that. But I was thinking, like, if there was like a Chicagoland dungeon master like service where it's like you could rent a dungeon master for a night or something like that.
I don't
that.
Think there's enough of a market for that.
I don't know.
I think if you have a group of people who want to play D&D, they always have a DM.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, okay, so let's just say that you wanted to do, like, I'm talking like for special events or stuff like that. So it's like, you want to run a dungeon master to run a game for this kid's birthday, or you want to run a dungeon master to run a game for a bachelor party or something like that.
Well, there you go. You found your calling.
I'm not
start your business.
I'm not good enough as a dungeon master to do that. I'm okay as a dungeon master. I get more frustrated as a dungeon master than I probably should, so that's why I'm not very good.
Yeah, I couldn't do that because I have a very like distinct way I want to run the game.
Yeah.
And like I don't want to give people what they want.
No, exactly. No, you know, I don't want, same thing, but I mean, it's like, if you design like one shots for like specifically like a Halloween dungeon master who's going to run this type of game.
Yeah, I think the closest thing you got to that is like there's, you know, the stores that run like Pathfinder Society or the D&D events. So like that's the closest thing
but who wants to go to a goddamn store?
Apparently a lot of people.
They all smell.
Apparently
they
a lot of people.
They smell terrible.
The store smell or the people?
Both. Hold on. Yeah, but I was saying, yeah, the people are generally the ones that smell. I was actually on Reddit on their board game subreddit, and this one guy was talking about like, I love going to my store, but it's gotten so bad lately. The smell has gotten so bad lately. How do I approach the manager about this? And it's like, well, there's not really much you can do. I mean, I know a lot of stores like to pride themselves and they put up signs like, wash yourself before you come into this store.
You know, I haven't been to a store with a super smelly person in a really long time.
It happens every great once in a while.
Yeah,
and like
it used to be real bad. Like maybe even as early as like 10 years ago. Like it was awful. Like you went to a game store, there was always some super smelly fuck there.
Well, I mean, for like there's levels. Like you go into a normal game store, there's a lot of farting that goes on. Fart smell, well, yes, it will smell bad for generally a little bit, unless the guy's got like a chronic problem. You know, it's like you have one and then someone will go, "Oh, that's disgusting, blah blah blah, done." But sometimes you got like the real stale sweat guys or the body odor guys. Those are the worst.
Well, see, those guys are usually they usually congregate around like the more crusty stores. Like if there's historicals there, that's usually where you see those guys.
No, dude, it's magic. Magic is
completely incorrect.
No, I am completely correct because magic.
As someone who specifically stated the smelliest room at Gen Con was the privateer room.
That's true. But they didn't have a magic room at Gen.
They always have a magic room.
No, that was at Adepticon. The smelliest room is always at Adepticon.
You're just trying to deflect it because you're a war gamer. You don't want to be associated with the smelliest
magic,
fucks who are always war gamers.
I will tell
you.
No. Magic's
war
always worse.
Smell way worse.
Magic, you're sitting around for far longer than doing that.
I've been to many, many magic tournaments. I've been to many, many war game tournaments. Smellier fucks are always at the war games tournaments.
Now, I'm not saying that there's not smelly fucks at war game tournaments. I'm just saying that generally, magic is the reason why a game store will smell.
I completely disagree. It is either.
Or, and another thing is that magic gamers are the ones who always smell at comic book stores because comic book stores don't do tabletop like war games. They will do magic though.
I can't speak to comic book stores because I don't go to them.
Yes,
but as far as the game store goes, it's always some fucking dude like slinging dice with his fucking Polish fucking cavalryman who's got a no sleeve T-shirt on who's just like reeking body odor from
dude,
the back
what
corner.
What the hell is with the no sleeve T-shirt?
They're
with
always
war
the
gamers.
Smelliest bastards.
Like what? Why are you doing this? No one wants to see that.
Let's put this to the audience. My experience has been different from yours. I would like anyone, you can hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, whatever you want.
You have an Instagram?
I do.
Ooh.
You can hit me up, whatever you want. Let me know your experience. Who are the smellier fucks, war gamers or magic players?
Yes.
Joe says magic players. I say that's because of his personal bias. I say war gamers due to my experience, because I've been to many magic tournaments.
I'm just saying that generally, if you go into a gaming store or a comic book store, it's magic that's going to cause.
I'll give
the
you the comic book store because again, I'm speaking from what I have experienced, and I say that it's always like I'm always like, what's that fucking horrible smell? I look over at some dude's fucking playing X-Wing, and I'm like, God damn it,
dude's playing X-Wing.
Yeah, like that guy.
It's like, dude, I'm gonna play X-Wing without sleeves.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
play X-Wing with no sleeves.
I don't know about you, man, but I just think personally, you can't really game with sleeves on.
I'll give you this: magic players in general, are way more shit lords than minis players.
But what do you mean by that?
They're just a shitlord, like he's a dick.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they'll be, it's like, I don't know, just they're assholes.
Yes.
Like there are more assholes who play Magic, but I think that might just be because the
volume. I think it's sheer volume.
Right. There's just way more people who play Magic, so you're gonna encounter more dickheads.
I think part of the reason for that, and it's just my train of thought, is that the people who will generally hang around and be the asshole with Magic is the person who's generally playing more and winning more. So, like, they want to surround themselves like, yeah, I won every Magic tournament at this store. You know, it's like, all these guys are shit tier level players. I could really kick all their asses. Hold on a second. I got to take my sleeves off.
No, that's a minis game thing. The no sleeves thing.
Yeah, no, I will agree with
that's
you on that.
That's a minis
guy
thing. So let us know. What do you think?
It's not even like they have good arms. Like if you were
no,
like,
they're always pillow flabby arms.
Yes, if I was like built like I mean, I'm not talking like Schwarzenegger style built. I'm talking like, I don't know.
Now, see, the key with being built is you wear the form fitting shirt, super tight shirt.
Yeah.
That's what you wear. You don't wear no sleeves.
No, you don't wear no sleeves. Well, do you like? I'm talking like maybe if I was like Chris Pratt, like around Guardians of the Galaxy sized. Yeah, I would be like no sleeves. That's right, no sleeves. See the sweet tat I got?
You'd have the fucking the tribal barbed wire.
No, I would have the Imperial Aquila.
Oh.
Be one of those guys.
You know, I mean, I think the Aquila is really cool, but I could never get a tattoo just because, like, if people don't know what that is, they're going to be like, are you a Nazi? You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. It looks really similar to Nazi propaganda.
No, I just play Space Marines in Warhammer 40,000. Oh, really? What's that? Well, they're this fascist group.
Yeah, they're basically space Nazis.
All right. So, Speaking of 40K, Sisters of Silence, their new thing?
Yeah, they're in the Burning of Prospero.
Okay, yeah, that's, we talked about that, right?
I think so. I don't know. Yes. It's cool. Like, it's good. It is a good thing. It's actually a game. Enjoy it.
It's actually a game. Enjoy it. But so we put together some mailbag nonsense for you guys. Some questions for you guys. Not a shit ton. Mainly because I knew that, you know, we're in the ghost period for gaming right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be until like around the big December releases, you know, like Christmas season releases. There's nothing really new. Okay, so let's start off. Matt Lee asks us, who is the worst and why is it Steve?
I can feel this one.
Yes.
I don't think Steve Carell's that bad. Like, he's been in, you know, like The Office, arguably, you know, got pretty bad. But, you know, 40-year-old Virgin has some moments. But yeah, he's been in some bad movies for sure. That one with the little kid beauty pageant thing, that was pretty shitty. So I mean, I don't really think Steve Carell's the worst.
You didn't like Little Miss Sunshine?
That's the one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
not a great movie. No, by any stretch of the man. It wasn't a terrible movie.
Wasn't
though.
A fan. No, that's what I said. It was like that's the problem though with movies these days. It's like there's so much good shit out there. When I see something that's like mediocre, I just kind of get mad. I'm like, yeah. God damn it! I could have watched something good. Yeah. So that's you know that's basically it.
No, in terms of like the gaming region of at least Chicagoland, there are far worse people than Steve. I will say that both in his opinions, both in their opinions and in their play styles, and in their social interaction. Because I'll tell you what, I've just recently dealt with a kid with playing some bolt action where I'm just like, do you have like people to talk to? Is like how do people stay around you? This is. You have learned nothing in your 20 plus years on this earth about dealing with other human beings. You are single-handedly the worst at being human.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just I could not believe it. Like this I want to call him a kid because he was younger than me, of course, but I mean he was not a kid. Right. He was older, but I was just like, you have to learn how to interact. Like, even before you start playing games, like you play games as a child to learn how to interact with other people.
Yes.
Like on levels and learn about winning and losing. You have obviously never done this and are just picking this up now when you're in your 20s. What the hell is wrong with you?
That's awesome.
Like I literally wanted to sit down and have a dad conversation with him.
Listen here, son. We've got to talk about
I shouldn't even say a dad conversation, but like one of my teacher conversations. Like I'm a teacher. I sometimes have to sit kids down and be like, you don't know how to do this yet. That is why you are in school. And we are here to teach you how to do this.
That's awesome.
I have relatively right.
I said, I got the sports scores to prove it, man. People love playing against me. Even when I'm playing a dickhead list, I always make them laugh.
Leave them laughing. That's
leave
what
them,
I always
leave them
say.
Laughing. Cause you know why? It's part of the strategy. You need to have a goddamn good soft score to fucking win.
Goddamn soft score. All right, Andrew McColl asks us, plastic Primarchs, finally, or a flash in the pan?
The Magnus is fucking sweet. Like, mm-hmm. I really like that model. I think he's really cool looking, and I like that it's now, like, in addition to being Magnus, which is, I care less about that, I care more about the fact that there is a really sweet Zeench Demon Prince available now.
Yeah.
So I think if Mortarion looks sweet for Nurgle, like that's the cool thing. The double duty that the Primarchs in theory are going to be repping will be sweet. Yeah. That's pretty much it. The figure's cool. I like that. It actually gave me like a Kingdom Death vibe because he's got like that like armor over his eyes.
Well, yeah, he's it's very ornate armor.
Yeah. And you know the armor's over his eyes, and then on his wings he has the Zeench eyes like on the feathers. Like yeah. I thought
what's
it was
that,
cool.
What's that called? The it's not ornate, but it's like a like Baroque maybe. I don't
Baroque.
Know.
Yeah, that's
something
right.
like that. It's like Gothic. That Gothic. Really. Yeah, yeah. Gothic armor style that they do.
So I would say finally.
I mean. Yes, it's all part of GW's move to move 40K to the
future,
the age of the Emperor or whatever they're going to call it,
mm-hmm.
the
age of Emperor,
the age of Emperor. Oh, that's a great name for it.
AOE,
the AOE, age of Emperor. It's like Age of Empires, except just with the Emperor.
Yeah, Emperor.
And you'll have the Zeench priest go out and go
take over your units. Yeah,
I love that game. I think I love that game so much.
Yeah, I think they use their test bed of Sigmar, which has now turned into a profitable venture for Workshop.
So profitable venture. It came out. It was
shit the bed super hard.
Shit the bed super hard. Everything was way too expensive. Everything was ridiculous in terms, like, in playstyle. No one knew what to do with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it shouldn't be. It's not terrible, but just no one knew what to do with it.
It's being pulled back.
And yeah,
successfully, but, I might add. It's selling a lot now.
Well, yeah. So, we're finally going to introduce points so that people can play this fucking game. Great. Awesome. Now, no one can play these games because the miniatures are too expensive. We're going to not lower the price, but on anything
start collecting boxes.
On anything that's new that comes out, the prices are going to be reasonable.
Yep.
Awesome. I just wish that, like, for certain things, they would lower the price.
The Fire Slayers.
Fire
Slayers are by far they're beyond the pale in comparison to any of the other Sigmar stuff.
Yeah.
They're just ridiculous. I could not believe how much money they were.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy fuck. And I'll do it straight up in comparison to their points. Like the Varangar, the one that's like, it's like a hundo for three cavalry dudes.
Yeah.
That's very expensive, but those guys are ridiculously expensive in points. Like they're super high in points.
Yeah.
The Fire Slayer is like basic infantry. It's like $45 for five plastic guys, and they are not expensive in points.
No, that's kind of the problem that they had. So what they should do is they should reevaluate the prices on certain things that aren't selling.
The rumor is that the Fire Slayers are going to be this holiday is going to have like a super start collecting box deal for a bunch of armies.
Yeah.
And the rumor mill is that Fire Slayers are going to get one because they don't have a box.
Oh yeah.
So supposedly there's going to be you're going to have to pay more up front than the $85 current start collecting boxes, but you're going to get more because it's going to be a bigger army. And so the rumor mill has it that Fire Slayers are going to be one of those.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think that's a good compromise because I understand why they like lowering whenever you lower a price on something like that, especially something because the Fire Slayers have been out for almost a year. They were one of the first releases for Sigmar.
And no one plays them. I haven't seen them at all.
They're very expensive.
Yeah.
But someone's bought them because I've seen some really nice painted Fire Slayers. Now, anytime you lower a price like that, you have to weigh the cost of like, well, how butthurt are the people who bought this stuff going to be?
That's very true. That's very, very true.
You know, GW players are like fucking, you know, cracked glass. So you have to be very, very, very careful.
What?
Yeah. So I think the compromise of doing cheaper boxes is the smart play because then you have like, oh, you just buy this like, oh, you want to play Fire Slayers, but it's too expensive to buy piecemeal. Buy this giant box. It's $200 now, but it's like $600 worth of Fire Slayers.
I wonder how Age of Emperor will do vehicles, because that's the one thing that Age of Sigmar doesn't really do.
There's no vehicles; they're just moons.
Yes, so it's kind of. I'm wondering how that's going to work.
I still think vehicles should just have hit points. I'll give you the example of what I would do if I were G-dubs.
What would you do if you were G-dubs?
So you know how monsters and big stuff in Sigmar have those like tables of like what their wounds, shit does with how many wounds they have? I would do that exact same thing for vehicles with structure points.
Huh.
Like your vehicle has five structure points. Like the Chaos Predator has five structure points. It takes one damage, nothing happens. It takes two damage, you lose one sponson. Two damage, the third damage, you lose the other sponson. Fourth damage, you lose the turret. Fifth damage, you lose the tank. Just flat, straight up. Like this is exactly what happens as the tank gets beaten down. Because then you eliminate a lot of the swinginess from vehicles, which I mean might not even be in 40K because I have no fucking shit about 8th edition. But like. One of the biggest things that sucked always when I was playing like orcs or anything in 40K where like I had tanks, they'd be like, showed it, six, it's blown up. And I'm like, oh, okay, glad I spent those points.
I mean, and it'll be interesting because with GW introducing all of like the giant walkers and titans and everything like that, how that will be in the Age of Emperor.
Yeah, I mean, and that, I think that's the best way to do it. And then you can eliminate the ability to just get totally diced by someone. Because that was the thing that always fucking sucked. Is you'd have an expensive tank, like even like a Land Raider. Someone just like fucking hits. They just roll three sixes in a row and your Land Raider's fucking destroyed. It's like 280 points gone because some dude just got hot dice on the first turn. So having it be wounds where it just goes on. And you can still use the tank busting gear because just make them do more wounds. So back to the Predator example, if it's got five structure points, make last cannons do fucking two damage, you know, like bam.
Two damage,
right.
Two damage.
So that means like a squad of four, like a heavy squad of four last cannons firing at a Predator, probably gonna blow it up.
Oh,
which is fine.
I wanted to mention something to you. I thought about this the other day. The two damage thing made me think about it. I was thinking of making a LARPing miniature game.
Oh god,
Think about this. You actually play, like, your miniatures are people who are LARPing.
That's really funny. You could, you'd have to do it on, like, a giant chessboard, so you have a number of spaces for them to move.
No, not even. It would be, like you take, like, a simple 4x4 or 3x3 table, and it's, like, it's the local park. Like, you can do all the terrain as, like, a local park.
Oh, you mean, like, an actual minis game?
Yes.
Of LARPers fight? Oh! I thought you meant, like, a real, like, life-size thing where you have people in costumes fighting for you.
No.
Dude, so, like, shitty, like, a cardboard helmet, dude?
Yes!
That's
exactly
awesome. That's really funny.
Yeah, so, like, you build your thing, like, okay, you have to take, like, your warrior.
And their names are all, like Jim Jablonski.
Yeah, exactly. So think of, like what they do with Zombicide. But, like, with
LARPers? That's fucking great. I like that. That's a really good idea. Normally, I don't like your ideas. This idea is good.
Like, you see a guy with, like, who's the wizard, and his beard is, like, falling off.
It's, like, the glue. You can see, like, a little bit of the glue on his face.
Yeah, yes. he's got, like, a bag full of bean bags.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have him throwing one of the bean bags. Yes, this is a good idea.
The knight wearing cardboard, but his sword is obviously, like, just, like, a pole with, like, foam around it.
I like it.
I think that would be a brilliant
idea. That's good. That's really funny. Yeah. I think you'd have to do it as a boxed game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like Zombicide.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be good.
Where you have, like, the local park, like, is the things. We have to take the gazebo!
That's really good. I like it.
The duck pond.
I like it, yep. Right. And then you can have, an NPC enemy where it's, like, a fucking, like, park security. Yeah. And it's like, oh, park security got you. Your character's out. He's been arrested.
you have the guy dressed up as a night elf and he's in blackface. You're just like, no! No!
The magician.
All right. So we got Jeffrey Bushy. Jeffrey H. Bushy asks us, WTC, pussied out on the...
W-O-T-C, Wizard of the Coast.
Oh, Wizard of the Coast. Pussied out on the new standard format. When's the 5e DMG review? Didn't we do the Dungeon Master Guide?
I don't know if we did or not, but it's like been two or three years since it came out.
You know what? I don't think we did the Dungeon Master Guide.
Okay, it's good. Review over. Yes, Wizards of the Coast did not pussy out on the standard format as much as they realized that they were losing a fuck ton of players. So, in case you don't follow Magic rotates. Rotation means that at some point, all of the cards you use get banned, and they go to the legacy formats, which are you can only use older cards. So, what they did is I might be not exactly correct here, but the format was always a two-year rotation. So, every 2 years, all the cards went banned, and they released the new cards. And that's just how it worked. And you follow, you play standard, which is always the most current stuff, and then the other stuff falls back into modern, which is, like, you know, older sets. They changed Magic's format. Magic always came in 3-set blocks. So when a set comes out, like Return to Ravnica, you have Return to Ravnica, then you have Gatecrash, and then you have Dragon's Maze. That is the Return to Ravnica block. 3 booster sets. And then as they come out, sets push and rotate. Well, the first change they did is they made blocks are now 2 sets. So currently, like, they have Shadows over Innistrad and Eldritch Moon. That's the Shadows of Innistrad block, now 2. Then the next set is 2, 2, 2, 2. Well, when they made this change, they also said that they were going to accelerate rotation. So rotation happened basically every year. With this, the barrier to entry for standard went up super high because you had to buy, like, if you stopped playing standard for any amount of time, you came back to the store, your cards were probably illegal at that point. You're like, oh, shit. So, like, the standard playing attendance dropped by half for a lot of places. It was, like, huge damage, and it was super expensive to play. It did the opposite.
Was it 2 damage?
Well, it did the 2 damage. It did the opposite of what they wanted to do, where they wanted to make standard more accessible, but by rotating it faster, they made it less accessible. So they retracted that. It's now they're still keeping the 2-set blocks, which is a very good idea, and they're going back to the 2-year rotation. So there you go. Little Wizards information. But for the most part, I have not seen anyone complain about it. At all. Like, everyone I've seen has been like, oh, thank goodness.
And on the Dungeon Master's Guide, yes, it's a great book. It's fantastic. It's well put together. I have not heard a single complaint ever about the Dungeon Master's Guide. The only thing recently that I've heard people kind of complaining about is Volos. Volo is introducing a shit ton more playable races.
Ooh.
And I don't think people are very happy about that.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, you know, when I get my hands on a Volo, I'll let you guys know. Scander, longtime listener, asks, will Chicago burn tonight as an offering to the Cubs.
It didn't burn. The only thing I saw, the only crime-related incident I saw with the Cubs was they stole a Taco Bell sign.
like the actual, like, huge sign?
Yeah, some revelers, as the news media would call them, rather than rioters.
Yeah.
They stole the Taco Bell sign. Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of weird.
It is weird. I don't think they stole the one that's up on the pole. I think they stole...
That's what I was asking.
No, like, you know the drive-thru one? Oh, okay. The one that's on the ground? It's still a big fucking sign.
Yeah, it's still... Yeah. But, listen, not sports fans here at all give two shits about sports.
As I said before on Play On, I think sports, professional sports, is a societal cancer. So that's my feeling on it.
But if you do know a Cubs fan who's, like, so happy, two good, great ways to troll them. Using Chicago sports references, for those who are unaware, I'll just say this real quick. You could say, oh, yeah, should have won it in four games like the Chicago White Sox did in 05. Great thing. They get kind of mad about that. But it doesn't matter. They won. And the other thing you could say is, it's okay. 2005 White Sox would have beat them. Would have beat the 2016 Cubs. They get so butthurt over that. I have trolled more people with that over the course of the last 2 days than I don't know if I've ever talked about baseball as much by doing that. It has been fantastic. Matt Henderson, thoughts on the Nintendo Switch? Have either of you backed Deep Madness or The Edge? Why or why not?
Didn't we talk about the Switch in the last cast?
We talked about it a little bit. I think it's going to be it's overhyped. It'll sell fine as soon as they put out the Nintendo proprietary games for it. I just don't think it's going to be as successful.
If the quote-unquote leaked launch list that I saw is correct, it's going to be fucking bananas.
Well, like the Zelda stuff and everything.
There's a list of games that supposedly is the launch lineup for the Switch.
Yeah.
It seems too good to be true. So, like,
are a lot of them Nintendo proprietary?
They're almost all.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is, like, that was the big problem with the Wii U, is the Wii U took so long to get, like, the proprietary games out there
because it had no third party support.
Yeah.
Opposite of the Switch. The two, there's a not an infographic, but there's a slideshow still of the Wii U's companies that pledged to make a game for it for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. And then side by side with the one that is the Switch games. And, like, the number of third-party companies confirmed to be making games for the Switch fucking buries, like, the Wii U, including FromSoft, which is, like, the most in-demand developer right now. So I think it's going to be opposite. I think Nintendo learned their lesson, and I think they're coming out hot. And they're going to short print this thing. They're going to, for the first run, it's going to be short produced. And then, because they're afraid to have another Wii U where they just put too much of it out there and they're just sitting around.
Well, I mean, it goes pretty much since the N64 of the great system, shitty system, great system, shitty system. This is gonna be, if this is on the great system list.
Yeah. Hey. I mean, it would fit the trend.
I will not be buying one though. I'm done with consoles. I bought my PS4, but mainly as a media player. I think it works excellent.
Well, I mean, that's all consoles are that now. Like, they're all streaming.
Well, the only reason why I bought the PS... Oh, it's for the Blu-ray player. I bought the PS4.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I have, like, three Blu-rays.
I got a kid, so I have all of the Disney Blu-rays.
But Netflix, man, they got all that shit streaming.
Yeah, but I sometimes like the higher quality. You don't get super high, like, high-definition quality with streaming. Very rarely do you. So, have you backed Deep Madness or The Edge? Why or why not? I have not.
My particular reason is I already have enough shit. That's for me. Like, I have too much shit. I'm not getting into any new anything. That's it. Like, I'm out. Like, I have the minis games that I'm interested in. I have the board games that I'm interested in. As far as getting a new, especially a new minis based board game, like, not a fucking chance in the world. Like, never. I Kingdom Death is still sitting in its box. It will likely still be sitting in its box like fucking 4 years from now. Like, I do not have the wherewithal, the time, the desire, or anything to do any of these super complex, big box, like, full of fucking minis games. Like, it's just not for me. I think if I'm correctly, they're the ones that are, there's one, they're like Cthulhu-y, both are, I think. They're like kind of like, yeah, you know, mythos thing. The minis, if I remember correctly, are very cool looking. Like, the monsters are really sweet. Like, it, you know, they the games look good. And that's the problem. Like, right now, we're still spoiled for choice when it comes to games. Like, I could see if I was the kind of guy who just, like, would want to play it like just box it and like take it out and play it. But I have the itis about that. Like I have to fucking paint it. Like it has to be painted in some fashion, even if it's like, even if it's just a spray and like, you know, like a sepia tint or something.
A sepia tint.
Like something to bring out the detail on the figures. Like, yeah, I can't do it without spraying it. So like any of these games that are like 160 figures, I'm like, no.
Well, yeah, I mean, my problem is that it's like, yes, everything looks amazing in it, and like the game's probably good. I don't know. I don't have a group like that meets
board gaming
enough
standards.
Well, I don't know. I don't have a group that meets often enough to make it worthwhile to buy.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got to play Rex again.
Yeah, but that's kind of the thing is like, these type of games, you need to have a group where you could play this enough times to make the investment worth it. And it's like, I don't know, like a lot of these companies have been really bad, like these independent, these smaller companies, about getting their shit on time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even talking like a little bit late, because a month or two late, so what?
Well, I mean, the whole key is, did it ship out on time? Because that's the real important distinction, especially. And a lot of people who maybe aren't in the industry don't understand this. But, like, so many delays happen via the, like, perfect example, that there was a Korean shipping company that
we talked about this on the cast.
Went bankrupt. Yeah. That delayed a fuck ton of games. Like, a shit ton of games got delayed insanely. There's still product that's sitting on the ocean right now that's supposed to be in people's hands. Tons of stuff. And that shit happens a lot. Boats go to the wrong dock. Boats can't dock because of some union strike at some fucking, you know, port. There's a lot of stuff that happens. So the key is, did you ship your game on time? Did your game leave your manufacturer within the correct time frame? And there's a lot of games that do that and then show up late. But then there's a ton of games that don't. There's a ton of games that are like, yeah, we don't actually have the money to finish printing it.
Well, I mean, I'm looking...
We need to get more money.
I'm just surprised at the level that people still love Kingdom Death with its delay. Like, that one was super delayed. Like, the Conan Kickstarter.
But the hype was fucking real.
Well, the hype, yeah.
And the hype is still real. Like, yeah. people are still paying thousands for Kingdom Death stuff on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing that point, because it looks gorgeous. It finally did deliver. But I mean, like, the Conan Kickstarter, that one... It's still not in people's hands.
See, I didn't back the Conan Kickstarter, but with Kingdom Death, Poots was completely transparent about every little thing that happened. He was like, if there was any sort of delay, he fucking immediately sent a thing to backers. He was like, there's a delay, this is why. There's a delay, this is why. There was no radio silence. Because a lot of these guys, from what I've seen on all these Kickstarters that exploded, always seems like they just like don't say a fucking word. They just stop communicating, period. So I think... I mean, I'm sure there was somebody was probably butthurt about Kingdom Death taking a long time. However, I believe the fact that he was out ahead of it, being like, this is the guys, look, it's delayed. This is why it's delayed. Listen, you know, he stayed in constant contact with all of the backers, like every step of the way with Kingdom Death.
Yeah.
Kingdom Death, you know, that was handled correctly. But a lot of these games were like, they back it. They say like, oh, it'll be shipping soon. And like, you see, like the last update was like 6 months ago and the update was shipping soon.
Yeah,
you know I think that's the real key difference.
We gotta keep going though. What do you, Don Haney asks? What do you think of the recently announced Harry Potter miniatures game as a possible entry point to miniatures for what is likely to be a slightly different demographic?
First of all, it's made by Knight Models. It will not be an entry point to anyone because the models are gonna be $1 million. Two, Harry Potter is the stupidest fucking possible universe you can have for a minis game. The fights in Harry Potter are one dude stands here, one dude stands 10 feet away, they face each other, and they fucking throw spells at each other. It is the worst idea I've ever seen, and I cannot believe that someone got like, oh, I'm going to make a minis game out of it.
Third point, Knight Models makes terrible, 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 terrible rules.
Actually, I don't know if they're terrible or not because I can't understand them.
There you go. Harry Potter would work great in an LCG, a CCG. It would work fantastic as an RPG. As a minis game, worst possible way ever. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. I would not like that. And plus, Harry Potter is on the downswing. It's pretty much I shouldn't say a dead franchise.
We'll have to see what Fantastic Beasts does.
Well, I mean, Fantastic Beasts is a whole different animal, though.
Still part of the Harry Potter franchise.
Yes, I will give you that. But as I say,
it's like saying Rogue One's not a Star Wars movie.
No, I think
because it's not about Jedis and Skywalkers.
I mean, you can't. The bigger problem is that it's Star Wars, plural. There are many wars that happen out in the stars. Harry Potter, on the other hand, if the main character of Harry Potter is not in the universe, it's kind of hard to say. So there you go. John Withoon?
Withoon.
John Withoon. John Without. Microdosing LSD, microdosing LSD, ketamine, and Adderall in intervals at long multi-game day tourneys that require the perfect blend of concentration and witty banter with an acceptance of the absurd. Good idea or bestest idea?
I mean, probably not the LSD. That's probably a bad call. The ketamine and the Adderall. Yeah, all right.
What are you saying, microdosing the LSD? That's,
what does that even? What would that even do?
You can see lots of colors.
Yeah,
so
you really want to take a really low dose of a hallucinogen? I don't, I'm fucking terrified of hallucinogens. I would never, ever.
The Adderall.
I've done some shit. I assure you, I've done some shit. I would never take a hallucinogen.
I can't comment on any of this, but I can tell you from people that I know that have done this, Adderall is fairly common at tournaments.
Oh yeah, it's a huge problem in esports.
Yeah. I'm sure people are using it all the time in Magic.
There was a dude who wrote a fucking tournament report about winning a fucking Grand Prix while tripping balls on shrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it was a five. But the top eight picture is fucking ridiculous. It's like, how could anyone not tell that guy was blown out of his mind? And how did he win? He fucking crushed everyone.
Well, there was a guy in the 70s who threw a no-hitter on LSD.
There you go.
For baseball, another baseball reference. But yeah, ketamine, I don't know about ketamine. Microdosing LSD, though, that could be fun. My drug of choice when playing any sort of tournament is alcohol. So just because by the end of the tournament, if I wasn't drunk, I would just be so bored out of my gourd.
I just juice myself with anti-anxiety medication.
Anti-anxiety medication. All right. Yeah. So
which I have a legal prescription for.
All right. So, John, my thing is that you're probably going to need some sort of mind-altering drug to get you through any sort of tournament, dealing with A, the people, B, the awful rule set, and C, you generally terrible tournament setup. So, yeah, have fun with whatever you want.
I would say blog about it.
Yeah, I would say that your little prescription thing here is a little on the intense side, but yeah.
Whatever you do, make sure you blog about it.
Yeah. Rob Hawkins.
Friend of the cast, Rob Hawkins, terrain maker extraordinaire by his sweet shit.
By the way, look him up, Rob Hawkins, online. He's got a bunch of stuff for sale on his...
Yeah, it's the skull Forge, I believe.
Yeah, he's got like a
something about skulls. Yeah. I was like, I saw it and I was like, ha, skulls.
Lots of little terrain. He's still...
Great undead stuff.
He's still holding on to the fact that he's like, one day ranked undead stuff will come back into fashion.
Hey, you know, the Vampire Count stuff looks nice. It's because he's got a nice looking Vampire Count.
Well, he does. He's been around forever. He
wants to use it. But he can't. You can't, Rob. It's dead.
Have any of you played any more AOS? I have not lately. Have you played any more lately?
I did. Very fun. Like I said, it does use lots of dice. He said other than lots of dice. I like it. I think people are playing, again, it's another game I think people are playing a little too big of games for. I don't think 2,000 points is optimal. I think you should be playing 1,500. I think that's the real sweet spot for it.
I'm between the 1 and 15. Somewhere there.
My only, like, my actual gripe about it is there's almost too many, like, sub-rules, so it's really easy to forget stuff. So you kind of have, like...
The sub-rules that are on the individual units.
I wish Workshop would actually... And this is a weird point for me. I thought about that. I mean, they have the app, which is nice. I do use it. But it seems to me that Workshop is missing a profit opportunity of making unit cards for sale.
I was thinking that myself.
Like, because I want to make my own, but it seems like, why don't you just sell them? Like, that seems like an easy, Workshop loves selling accessories.
Well, that's the thing that Team Yankee does, that the game that I've been kind of getting into lately, is that you buy the rule book, all of the units are in the rule book, and a picture of the unit card is in the rule book, but each unit, when you buy it in the box, comes with a unit card.
Nice.
So you could just have them on the table, and it works really well.
Yeah, and I'm saying sell them straight up as like an accessory pack, like sell them as like a little box.
Well,
like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Unit
yeah.
cards. So, I mean, I'll probably make my own. That's my only real, like, serious issues. Well, I should have rolled a fucking extra attack there. Like, fuck. Oh, that was supposed to be mortal
why
wounds.
Why don't they just print it on the back of the box so you could cut it out afterwards?
Like, this like the cereal, like cereal
yeah,
box
like
style.
Yeah, like cereal box style. He also asks, have you played any Frostgrave? You have not played Frostgrave, right?
I have not.
I have played Frostgrave. I think I talked about it on the cast.
You did, I think.
It's good. It's swingy as all hell. When you hit... because of the D20 system, when you actually, like... When you're, like, hot on the D20s, it just things are dying left and right. But it's because it's on a D20, it's, like, a lot of times you're not doing shit. You know, it's all right. I also think that the system where it's built around getting the treasure chest and getting it off the table is stupid. It should not be like, oh, I have to lug this treasure chest off the table. Like, every game is like that. Well, then what the fuck is the point? This is boring in a lot of in all reality. I'm kind of against that in a lot of games lately. Is the get the objective off the board style gaming drives me nuts, because it's always
it's fine if it's a scenario.
Yeah.
Not if it's the mechanic of your game.
Yeah, there's even if it's a scenario thing, it's annoying as all hell. But I like the game. I think that the game system works really well, and I like that they use a lot of the terrain with it. Like, it's a terrain heavy game. So if you have a local store that has a lot of terrain, it's a fun game to play. It's a good bring and kill. So he also asked, on the last show you mentioned that there were a ton of terrain at the auction. I'm curious, is it scratch built stuff, terrain kits? Was it mostly people pawning off their homemade hills and packing foam ruins, or was it nice stuff? Any disused armies on display, armies on parade display board?
I wasn't there, but usually it's shit.
The terrain, a lot of it was fairly nice. It's a good mix of scratch built and kits. They've gotten kind of away from the people who bring in the computer foam, the foam that you get in the computer boxes. Like, oh, I turned this into a 40K bunker. they don't really take that stuff anymore. It has to be like nicely based and painted and flocked in order for people to take it.
That's good.
I've seen some like really nice stuff there. A lot of it's like, there's always that one guy who buys a shit ton of like fish tank plants.
Yeah,
and then just bases the fish tank plants like it's jungle terrain. It's like, oh no, fuck you.
There's actually a couple fish tank archways I've seen that been turned into realm gates for Sigmar, and they actually look really nice.
I actually, some of my board that I have at home, I have like a Roman runes table at home that uses a shit ton of
If you paint it, it looks all right.
Yeah, it looks fine.
The plants always look really weird though.
I don't like them. But no, there was no disused armies on parade display boards. I've ever seen display boards go. I do on occasion. There's the Ogre Maw Pit that has gone up like four times since I've been going to that auction. Timothy Franklin asks, what are your best purchases since the pound tanked? I've just bought a shit ton of historical stuff overseas. Oh, Steve bought some 4G World.
This is what I got. I got this off of eBay. At a massively reduced rate. I got this giant Great Unclean one for $25.
You gotta be shitting me.
$25 was this giant Great Unclean one, because I saw the auction. I was like, huh, the thing's only up for like, it's like 15 pounds right now. It's like, I guess I'll just, whatever, it's almost, the auction's almost over, I'll just put it up there. And sure enough, I fucking ended up winning it for $25. And I got these for $30 for each set of three, so $60.
That's not a bad deal at all.
Yeah, so... I did pretty good on these I just mentioned were the plague toads of Nurgle.
Yeah.
So I got some sweet Nurgle Forge World stuff for on the cheap. Other than that, I was gonna buy a shit ton of stuff on Forge World, but they don't take PayPal credit.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Games Workshop takes PayPal credit.
Do they really?
But Forge World does not. Wow. Most places take PayPal credit. Like, most places that accept PayPal as a form of payment allow PayPal credit. So that's why I was really surprised that Forge World didn't.
Interesting. I've bought just stuff off North Star Minis and Artisan and stuff like that. Just regular stuff for cheap. I got a lot of pulp figures and stuff like that. Stuff for Congo. Game's cool. All right. Paul Beckus, Flames of War version 4 in April 2017. Total rewrite of Team Yankee style. Thoughts? Yes, it will be a total rewrite to Team Yankee style. That's what they're doing. I don't know. Like, my problem with Flames is that the...
Do people still play that game?
Yeah, but the bigger problem is it's too big right now. There's too many armies out there. Nobody wants to buy new shit. Like, how many versions of the Sherman tank can you buy? You have early, middle, and late war that are incompatible with each other, essentially. So it's like the game is almost at this point is a total write-off. Like, it's... I don't know how much they can keep going with this system. Like, I like what they're doing with Team Yankee. I think Team Yankee is an excellent kind of jumping off point for people who kind of want to get into tanky games. It's not historical. There's a lot more leeway and having fun with it. You're a lot more open. You know, it's stuff that's a little more accessible. You get kind of cool stuff. Like, you can play with jets and helicopters and all sorts of fun stuff like that. I highly recommend Team Yankee above Flames of War, at least just for what I see. The only problem with the Team Yankee stuff is that there are very few companies that are producing 15 millimeter, like, modern, ultra modern stuff. So you kind of almost have to go through Battlefront, and their prices are a little on the high side. Not terrible, but they're a little on the high side. So I you know, I don't know. It's up to you. The rules are super cheap, though. So if you just want to buy the rule book, it's $25.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Battlefront's rules are so cheap right now that it's kind of ridiculous to not just buy the rule book, to kind of look into it and see what's going on if you're somewhat interested. Jason Chaplin asked, the MASH RPG, will there be a Vietnam expansion for Steve? It's a terrible war, Steve. It's a terrible...
I don't even know the MASH song. I'm not a fan of MASH. I thought that show was actually really bad.
That and Taxi.
Taxi, that's a great show.
Yeah, they were like the two shows that when I was younger, like they would come on and I'd be like, no, dive to the TV and fucking flick the switch.
It's a terrible war. Terrible war.
Terrible war. What are we going to do at the end of this war?
And do a Groucho Marx impression and then talk about how Vietnam, how Korea is just a terrible war. Yeah, and the MASH RPG. What's the company that does all those crappy TV show RPGs?
The one Margaret Weiss.
Yeah, Margaret Weiss. Yeah.
They make like Firefly and Supernatural and shit.
Yeah. Man. And then Paul Mullis asks our last question. Pokemon Go, is Pokemon gone?
Absolutely not. It is still, like you may think it is, it's still making, like, last week it made like $29 million.
Yeah.
It makes millions and millions of dollars a day.
The hype is not necessarily there anymore, but I know there's still people who are
playing. The hype's not there, but it's still a multi-million dollar every week app. It's just fuck tons of money.
And then eventually they'll add something like being able to fight your Pokemon against someone else's Pokemon, and then it will be...
It'll get a resurgence.
It'll get a resurgence, and then people like Steel will be like, oh my god, this is everything I've ever wanted.
They'll need to add a lot more for me.
Not just the combat?
They'll need to add a lot more.
What else would you need besides combat?
Well, they're in... Well, okay, so not to get too deep into Pokemon, but they're incomplete. The Pokemon in the game are incomplete. They only have two attacks, and the way that the fighting works, like I've seen the way people fight, like the gyms, it's mostly just mashing your screen.
Okay.
There's like, Pokemon's an RPG. Like when you like attack, it's like, what is your Pokemon going to do? And you're like, I want to do this attack. And they choose what their Pokemon's going to do. And then they, based on their stats, one Pokemon goes faster, does its attack, the other Pokemon attacks. Like, it's an RPG, like Breath of Fire or Final Fantasy, any RPG you've ever played.
I like how you went with Breath of Fire as your first pull.
I just thought of Breath of Fire because it just got released on 3DS.
I have the original Breath of Fire at home.
Yeah, the emulator just came out on 3DS, so I was like, oh, yeah.
That game was not that great.
Very interesting and got much better as the sequels.
Yeah.
The first Breath of Fire innovated. The rest of them improved a lot.
I love the concept of combining the dragons together. That was always cool, but I
super
just...
cool. And like, you know, the main character like transforms. Like it very cool concept. And like I said, that series got much better as time went on.
Yeah, I only played the first one.
I very much enjoyed the at the time, though, the visuals were really good.
They had really good pixel art.
Yeah,
I remember that.
That isometric like look as well for the combat was really nice. Like I think, the only game that really stood up to it as far as just graphics wise RPG is probably Chrono Trigger, because like Final Fantasy.
You guys talk about Chrono Trigger,
like
Chrono Trigger. That's the game I've been looking for a while now. I've been looking for a complete Chrono Trigger for a while. You got a complete Chrono Trigger?
No.
How about Homebound?
No.
About Star Tropics.
I love Star Tropics.
Was it Earthbound? Earthbound's the one that Pat always loses his shit over.
Yeah, it's really funny. That's why I thought of Breath of Fire.
It's just funny because it's like you pull out like this. I'm like, really? Breath of Fire? That's the one you should pull?
So there's the new game on the horizon, and the new game is doing wonders for as far as accessibility goes. New Pokemon game.
Yeah.
So like they would need to change a lot for me to get into Pokemon Go. Like I was hoping for something that it wasn't. And if you like it, great.
Pokemon Go is, as I always say, is the first thing that's ever like... hit me as like I don't understand why people
it's
really
so
like this.
Goddamn big. Like this is another point that's kind of unreal. The card game right now, I can't believe what I've seen. Like the Pokemon card game right now is bigger than it ever was. Do you remember when it exploded in like 99 and like there was fucking kids everywhere with Pokemon cards?
Let me think back to 1999. All right, Matrix.
Looking like party, the money. Like it's
No, if you're gonna do a song from 1999, it would be like
actually it might have been 98. I don't know. Whatever the fuck. Maybe
I would. It would be like Flagpole Sitter by Harvey Danger.
So it was huge. Yeah, like the boxes were selling like crazy. The current like a Pokemon set comes out and it's fucking gone. Like it just sold. So it's big. Isn't that the song from The Faculty?
Yes, it is.
I'm not sick, but I'm not well.
Yeah. Like that one?
The Faculty. That's a good movie.
Or Eve 6. Remember that song? I would swallow the ride, I would choke in the rhyme, yes. When you'd be empty inside. I would swallow my doubt, turn it inside, I'll find nothing but faith in nothing.
Why is music wanna so terrible?
Blender, heart in a blender.
Stop.
Watch you spin around to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through with you.
This is awful.
Sex and Candy by Marcy's Playground, another great one. That was a little earlier. I think that was like 96,
97. Day here. Who's that lounging in my chair? You're casting devious stares in my direction. Oh, baby, this surely is a dream. Yeah.
Joe and Steve sing the hits of the late 90s.
I should do a 90s cover album, man. Everyone would really like it.
Oh, man. I
refuse to do the Macarena.
All those songs of the 90s are terrible shit songs. Don't get me anything wrong. But the second I hear like a song I remember from like late high school, I'm like, fuck yeah. Just put on some 311.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. That's about it.
Amber is the color of your energy.
Oh, I always like my go-to band for making fun of like the late for making fun of the 90s is the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I will always go to the Mighty Boss Tones.
Is that Zoot Suit Riot?
No, that was Cherry Pop and Daddies. No, Boss Tones were the impression that I get. Have you ever been close to tragedy or been close to folks who have?
I only really know the Zoot Suit Riot.
Have you ever been so powerful? So.
Do I?
Oh, yeah, right. You probably know the Boss Tones. They've been around forever, and they always have like a short guy with like doing the ska kick. Yeah, doing the ska kick on stage at all times. Yeah, I was gonna say skanking on stage, but I don't think you knew what that was.
Yeah,
but
ska is gone.
It's third wave ska is gone. One day, fourth wave ska will make a comeback, but until then, no, thank you.
She's sleazy, man. Not in the good John Waters way.
All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
You can like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast, where we always post about stupid stuff. And if you wanted to ask us questions, you can get on there. That's where we put in a mailbag thread. The best way to help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. Give us the 5 stars, but say we suck. That's about the best that we can do on that one. You could also listen to us on the YouTubes. Basically, just get the podcast that you're hearing right now with just a picture that I put on the podcast on the YouTube. I guess if it's
not enough anime titty thumbnails.
I know. Once again, this episode was brought to you by Polar Vortex. You could check them out. In January... January 27th through 29th at the College of DuPage. Cod State.
Go Whitefish.
UNLV, University nearest Lombard vicinity. Until next time, Steve.
I don't know. It's just Beardsley.
Game Classy.